Welcome to the Provincetown Shelter in Place Order question and answer session. I'm Amy Davies from Provincetown Community Television. This remote session is taking place on May 20th, 2020 at 7 p.m. Before we begin, I would like to stress the importance of muting your phone or computer microphone when you are not speaking. Open microphones and speakerphones cause interference in the call and make it difficult for everyone to hear. Please also mute any televisions or computer speakers before you speak. Press star 6 to unmute to ask your question. The panel will take questions from callers and also questions submitted in advance by email. The call-in is scheduled to last for 1 hour, so duplicate email questions have been combined. We have panelists from the Board of Health and town staff. Now I will turn over the session to Chair of the Board of Health, Steve Katsarinas, to open the call-in.
Hi, welcome everybody. I'm glad that you're here with us. I am Steve Katsarinas, Chair of the Board of Health, and I'll be moderating tonight's session. Dave Abramson, the Chair of the Select Board, is usually the moderator, but he's unable to be here tonight. And we have with us, as was said, staff, and the first thing I would like to do is ask Town Manager Robin Craver to make a few opening remarks.
Thank you, Chairman. Welcome. Thank you, and welcome to our fifth call-in session. It's part of our commitment to providing good communication and getting information out, answering your questions. We have over 77 people on the call. We're very pleased for the attendance that we've been having. I know that Memorial Day is coming up, and there's been many questions about are we ready and what we're doing. So we look forward to sharing information with you on what may be on your mind today. I also want to let you know that part of us trying to make sure that you get the information that you want and need, we have a lot of information, and you'll find our updates on the website under COVID, and as well as our Facebook page, and then we push out our messages to the community pages to try to make sure that we get information out as much as we can. The Select Board has started meeting weekly as we start the reopening phase, the recovery phase, going from virtual town hall and being shut down basically as a stay-at-home order. The governor did provide a new order on the 18th, and he was true to his word with rolling out any kind of reopening extremely slow. So we are still in the process of digesting those guidelines and what that means for the town, our community members, for travel, for businesses. So as best we can answer your questions around that, we're certainly prepared. And want to let you know that all of your town services, we are still full service, even though we are virtual. So if you have questions regarding any departments, you can go onto our website and call any of the departments, and they will return your call and get you what you need. So with that, Steve, I turn it back over to you.
Thanks very much. I want to acknowledge that the Vice Chair of the Board of Health, Dr. Susan Troyan, will be participating, and so we may call on her to answer some of the questions tonight, as well as staff. And before we begin taking questions, one of the topics that's been discussed a lot, both on social media and in conversations with staff and board members this week, is around enforcement. And so as an opening, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the posture and approach of our enforcement efforts in town. And I think it's important to understand and realize that for this to work the way that it must work, almost every action that's taken here is voluntary and is cooperative. So we are called during this pandemic to abide by advisories and rules and regulations and to work together cooperatively to try to protect everyone. And it has been very successful in Provincetown. At the moment, we have literally almost zero cases. It may be zero. And we have done a good job through social distancing, mask wearing, and other protective measures. So we feel good about that. We also are very aware that we will have more people coming, and people have already been coming. And so our approach is first education. That's actually what the governor's guidance to us has been, is to start with education. And we want to make sure that our messaging is clear. We have a culture here that we protect each other and that we care for each other. And that means wearing masks, social distancing, and of course, washing hands. And only when those things don't work does it become necessary for us to do the more enforcement measures. And when we need to, we will do those measures, and we have done them already. So I want everyone to know that when education and requesting cooperation doesn't work, the Board of Health and our agents, and with the support of the police force, are able and willing to do enforcement. But again, as much as possible, when we can achieve voluntary compliance and cooperation, that's most effective, and that's our objective. So with that, we'll now take the first question from the audience. Just hit star 6 to unmute, and you'll be recognized.
Hello.
Hi there. Please say your name.
I'm Julia Perry, and I'm calling with a question. I'm a member of the Advisory Council for Great Music on Sundays. And we're concerned about the restrictions regarding performance. Are the restrictions really intended to state that a musician and a cameraman with no audience cannot perform in Provincetown?
Well, that's a great question, Julia, and thanks for asking it. I'm going to start by saying that the evidence and the information that we have developed has been very clear that singing particularly and also loud speeches can definitely spread coronavirus. So the guidance that is coming is based on that. And I don't know if Dr. Troyan wants to address any of that, if she's looked at any of the research on the risks of musical singing.
What about instruments as well, too?
I'll get to that in a minute. I just wanted to make sure everybody understands what the risk is. Dr. Troyan, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes. So when you look at the larger spreads of coronavirus, it has been in closed venues where there has been singing involved. One very famous one that was published was a choir that one person was thought they had a cold, because this was back very early on. It was the beginning of March. And almost every single person in that choir from choir practice came down with the disease. So we know that singing can be problematic, which is why we want to put out that advisory also about if people are worshiping together to avoid singing inside a closed areas that can spread the disease.
Thank you. Musical, so when we look at musical entertainment generally, if there are ways that a musical presentation can be done that does not involve singing, then I think our concerns are somewhat alleviated. And even though I expect that we're going to get a recommendation to the Board of Health and the Select Board next week to issue orders regarding musical entertainment, we are always open to working with individual situations. And if it doesn't involve singing, I can imagine that we would be able to support allowing we're not against music, to be clear. And we're not against people enjoying music. We just want to make sure that we're not allowing anything that would spread this virus.
Now, I totally understand. I'm just trying to figure out what's possible. So, and thank you very much for your answer.
Sure, absolutely. We'll take one more live question, and then if there aren't any others, we'll go to some written questions that have been submitted. I want to make
Hello.
Sure we pay attention to those. Yes, what's your name,
Hello.
Please?
I'm Greg Daniels. I live right next to Town Hall.
Great, go ahead.
There's two questions that did, but they go together. I'd like to know, when is the ban for parked cars and trucks on commercial streets starting? They are literally still obstructing our walking ability to social distance. And the one that's kind of connected to it around Town Hall is, are you allowing the farmers market to be open in the middle of this pandemic? Yesterday, there was two people measuring out Town Hall's lawn for spacing. I actually thought they were like kind of going to make circles on the lawn for social distancing. And I was told no, they were measuring space for the farmers market. If that's true, doesn't that cause people to gather instead of social distance? And thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Robin Craver, the town manager, to answer, or if her staff wants to.
We have DPW Director Rich Waldo here. I'm going to have him talk a little bit about the... Let me change that. Chief Golden is here. Chief, would you mind talking about the parking? And then I'll take back the farmers market question. Chief? I thought I...
While we're waiting for the chief, I do want to make one point, which is that farmers markets have been deemed essential by the governor from the very beginning. They have never been closed down. So there'll be a more fulsome answer about our plans this summer. But I just want to make sure that everyone understands that to the extent that the governor's orders are what are dominating our policies going forward, they are and have always been considered an essential activity. Is the chief on?
Well, I can see that they're essential, but I don't understand why they're going to take over the lawn at Town Hall instead of being put in an area that I've seen other people do distancing. We have parking lots. We have these other things that I would assume to get people off the street, people could sit on the grass at Town Hall, and now there's going to be some days they can't.
All right. I'm going to have to go back to Rich if you can answer that question, or David Gardner. I know that we have a parking ban that we are resuming on that is part of your regular and happens every year, but I'm not able to tell you exactly where it is. So if I have staff on the line that can fill that in, I would appreciate it if you would unmute.
Hi, Robin. It's Rich Waldo, DPW director.
Thank you.
Yes, seasonally, we always have a parking restriction on Commercial Street between Johnson Street and Court Street. And that parking restriction is in effect. However, there are avenues for contractors that need to do work along Commercial Street to help open up the businesses and the establishment. They are allowed to receive certain parking permits from the parking department to allow them to park on the street daily. However, the length of the parking permit is for to actually do that work. So, yes, we do have a restriction in place. There are avenues for workers on Commercial Street, though.
Great. Thank you. And Robin, do you want to talk a little bit about the configuration of the farmers market?
Okay, yes. So we have a contract with the farmers market manager who is in the process of setting the layout of the actual farmers. We are also in the process of looking at online, so it would be pickup only, to reduce any possibility of the line starting and crowding. But we will be maintaining, and they will be required to make sure that there is 6-foot distancing.
I know, but the spillover is not on the street of Ryder Street. They were actually measuring the grass area of Town
Correct.
Hall.
We are moving. Right. We are, because we're trying to move them out and apart, we are going to be utilizing the lawn this year because we are trying to make more room for social distancing. So it's not necessarily to add more farmers market tents, but to create more distancing in between them.
So Robin, if you'd like, excellent. I can add to that.
Certainly.
So as we all know how the current farmers market is laid out, or how it has been in the past, they've all lined up along Ryder Street within the parking spaces. So essentially what the new layout's going to look like is half of those tents will be within that parking space on Ryder Street, and then the other half will be on the grass on Town Hall Lawn. And that way we can pretty much have an entrance and an exit for the shoppers to come in. So they won't be able to weave in and out in north and south. So basically you'll just enter, you'll walk around, and you'll exit on the one side. So it's a way of separating the congestion that we typically have on the Ryder Street sidewalk. And that's what the new layout is. And we're working with the farmers market right now with that.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. All right, now let's go to a question that was submitted earlier. Amy Davies will read it.
So this question is about messaging for the masks. And actually, before I read the question, I'd just like to remind everyone to please mute their phone if they're not speaking, and also to mute their televisions and their computers. We're getting a little feedback right now. Okay, I think we're better now. So this question is about masks and messaging, and the person would like to know why there are so many different directives about face masks, and they're citing the sign on Route 6 that says that masks are mandatory, but once you get into town, the signs say masks between 9 and 9, and that they must be worn between Bank Street and Pleasant Street.
Great. Town Manager Robin Craver, would you or your staff like to answer?
Let me take that one. So there is, the governor has an order regarding masks, and the order for masks is and that you are to social distance, and masks are suggested if you are not able to keep 6 feet apart. The select board adopted that and went one step further because they made the determination that on a portion of Commercial Street, that it was near impossible at certain times for there to be any reasonable belief that people could keep the social distancing of 6 feet. With that, they made an order for mandatory masks from, I believe it's Bangs to Pleasant Street, from 9 to 9. Trying to message that has been very difficult. One, we started doing some messaging before the governor's order. The governor's order on the 18th, and we didn't really know what he was going to require. That has stayed in place, so he didn't change that. I think that the select board may, and I brought it up at the last meeting, and have asked them to think about and take a look at the order that they have. It is a lot to try and message out so that people understand where Bangs and Pleasant Street is. The time frame, I know that we've had some questions as to why isn't it the whole town? And at the same time, we've had questions, why aren't we just following the governor's order? So my hope is that the select board will bring that back and have a conversation on that. So we apologize for the mixed messaging. We're trying to message the governor's order at the same time as we are also in the downtown area messaging something that's different and unique to Provincetown.
Thank you. Amy, do you have another question?
I do. Will you consider opening the public restrooms to accommodate visitors?
Again, so, Town Manager.
I'll take that. So we had planned on opening the comfort stations on May 25th. the new order that just came out on the 18th from the governor, we will not be able to open before the 25th. We have some porta potties available, and we are in the process of trying to get some more, so at least for this weekend. Rich, do you have anything you'd also like to add regarding that?
Yeah, so us taking a little bit of a turn, as Robin mentioned, we planned on opening this Friday, the 22nd, opening up the MPL bathrooms. But given the order that came out on the 18th, we can't open till the 25th, which is a Monday. So as of tomorrow, we're going to have six more portable toilets delivered to town, and we'll have those spread out. So currently we already have, I believe, five within town. We're going to bring six more to basically handle the need until Monday, when we can open up the restrooms. Subsequently after that, starting on Friday, May 29th, we'll be opening up the town hall restrooms for Friday, Saturday, and Sundays only, from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So this week, starting Monday, the MPL bathrooms will be open, and starting Friday of next week, the town hall bathrooms will open up.
And while we're on the subject of Memorial Day, Rich, would you just maybe tell, because I'm imagining we may get some additional questions around trash and the other things that we're preparing for this weekend. So we will be adding.
Sure. There's been a lot of requests and a lot of questions that's come into our office about whether we're going to be putting more barrels out. And the answer is yes. Currently this week, we returned to full staffing, which is something that we didn't have in the earlier months of this year. So we're back at full staffing. We are working on the barrels right now. We're getting them primed up, painted, and they will be dispersed before the end of the week. So we are working on that, and you should see those changes take place as this week goes on.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there someone on the phone who would like to ask a question? You can hit *6 to unmute and just say your name, and we'll recognize you to ask a question.
Hi, this is Kaylin Davis.
Hi, Kaylin. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. My question is to Rich, and to the town manager. I'm wondering, are you also going to provide hand washing stations? I know that in other places they've added that in addition to having porta potties, and it's an important step in the process. So I just wondered if that was something that was going to be addressed or not.
Robin, if you don't mind, I'll take that one.
Yes, go ahead.
So as you can imagine, getting hand wash stations as well as hand sanitizing station is extremely difficult right now, as most communities on the Cape are buying for the same thing. Fortunately, right now, we do have three in town. We have one at the waterfront parking lot, one next to the MPL bathrooms, as well as one on Court Street. We've had those out for the last week. Over the weekend, we've been servicing them every Friday and Monday, and we're understanding that their use has been have been heavy. So we're actually going to step up the service of them, where we're going to service them every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we only have the three right now. We are working with our vendor, and as soon as they are able to get more, they're going to deliver it to us. But for now, we have the three within town.
Wonderful. I have one more request. Would it be possible for you to post somewhere that those exist and where they are located, just so that it can be spread out to media to alert people that they are indeed available? Would that be okay?
I don't want to speak for the town manager, but I believe she was, and her team was working on maybe a little map of something that would give people a better indication where some of these utilities might be for them.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. I heard another voice for another question.
Yeah, hi. This is Charles, and I have a question that relating to enforcement. I think you said earlier that there was no immediate plan to do any formal enforcement of the rules for wearing masks, And I guess, you know, the question is when would that take place? Because I mean, I can tell you last weekend, while most people were in compliance, I saw a lot of people that weren't in compliance and wearing masks. And this is on and this was on Commercial Street. I mean, I saw a group of people sitting on the lawn in Town Hall. Must have been about six of them sitting around the monument, none of them wearing masks. And there was a group of police standing on Ryder Street across the way and not doing anything about it. And I mean, what can they do? There's no ability to enforce. I imagine this weekend could very well get even more crowded than last weekend. And I guess at what point are you concerned enough that you're going to do something about enforcing people to wear masks?
Hi, this is Steve Ketzer, as chair of the Board of Health, and the Health Department and the Board of Health have the primary responsibility under the current orders to do enforcement. As we discussed, we start with education, and there are signs, there are more signs coming, and we expect that we're going to have a consistent message on the signs going forward, which, as the town manager indicated, is difficult to do because it's quite a mouthful. I mean, it's a lot of concepts here and a lot of caveats, but we definitely want to make sure that people understand that the safest and best course is to wear a mask, socially distance, and wash their hands. And so we are doing that. It would not be the police who would enforce this order as they walk around the community. Masks are not their primary responsibility. If there's an altercation, which could happen, and the police would obviously be the right people to respond, and we would expect them to, and I'm sure they would happily do it. We've seen great response from our police force in terms of helping us to do the right thing and get the word out. But at this point, enforcement is from the Board of Health. I would also mention that businesses in which you are supposed to wear a mask are enforcing it as well. And so we think it's going to take a little bit of time before people understand, and there's nothing wrong with politely reminding people of the rules. I think we all can do that. And then ultimately, if somebody is really unwilling to cooperate or accept the culture that we have here, which involves social distancing and masks, then fining is an option. And we are prepared to do that if we need to do that. But we want to make sure that, especially with visitors who are coming from somewhere where this is not their expectation or they aren't aware of the rules, we don't want the first welcome to Provincetown to be a $300 ticket. So we're starting with education. But I definitely hear the frustration. You know, I wish that everybody would just immediately know what they're supposed to do and cooperate. But we're working on it, and we are going to continue to make progress. And I don't know if there's anything you want to add, Town Manager Robin Craver.
I just do want to remind people that people who live together, and I would say this on the outside of within the mandatory area, just remember that those people have an ability to be together without masks. You may not know the individual situations of people. In the mandatory areas, the order does not require that people who have a difficulty with breathing safely, who cannot breathe, they do not need to have a mask. Anyone with a behavioral health diagnosis and are unable to do so are not required to have a mask, as well as those people communicating who rely on lip reading or need oxygen, supplemental oxygen to breathe. So there are exemptions. And not always do we know what someone's personal circumstances.
Thank you. One more live question, and then
yes, good question.
Go ahead.
Can you describe the commitment of the Provincetown Police Department to enforcing the state law on masking, as well as the town's guidance and regulation on masking? Is
sure.
It committed? Is it yes or is it no?
So it's not a yes or no answer. The answer is that the police are absolutely committed to their role, which is secondary to the Board of Health and the Health Department. The state law, which is actually an advisory, it is not mandatory, and the local ordinance, which is mandatory, are both requesting that the Board of Health and the health agents enforce as the primary. The police are backing us up, and as I indicated, they have been backing us up, and we have no concerns about our support from the police. But this is not this is a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter. And so the enforcement is civil. And I understand the frustration, but it's very difficult to get people to immediately adopt new circumstances. And we think that we're making progress, and we're going to continue to do what we've been doing. And hopefully more people will wear masks where they're required to and will wear them where they should. Is there another question from someone on the – I'm going to go to the next question now. Is
go
there
ahead.
Another question from somebody? If not, star 6 to unmute. If not
– Hello.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Shira Kavan.
Hi, Shira. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Got to take you off speaker. Okay. So my question, based on what you're saying, Steve, I think it was you who was just now talking about the health department and the health agents being the ones who are the enforcement force, so to speak, for the mandatory masking. I suggest again, I know I have suggested this previously, that there be some sort of ambassadorial force that you somehow deputize, for lack of a better word, a group of people in town who can help, because you clearly the health department, the health agents, there are not, we have a small police force. I think the health department and health agents, I don't speak from any knowledge, is an even smaller force. So I would think if you put the word out, you'd get plenty of people interested in, as I've mentioned before, wearing an armband, wearing a T-shirt, wearing a mask that says Health Department Ambassador, something related, a baseball cap, a pin, something that says that that person is not just a mad, raving lunatic of Provincetown running up to you and telling you to put a mask on your face. And I think that that might help with the enforcement. Thank you.
I'll take that one.
Thank you, Shira. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Shira. This is Robin Craver. We are in the process of putting together a program for ambassadors that will do just that.
That's marvelous. When will that begin?
That is probably about 2 weeks out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, Amy, do you have questions that were pre-submitted? We want to make sure that we get a balance of ones that were submitted in advance.
Sure. So there are some questions still about parking. Can you clarify, are the town parking lots open to the public Memorial Day weekend? And another person said that the kiosks still have the signs that say enjoy free parking. So will there be signs on the kiosks if the parking is closed to let people know that it is in fact closed?
Thank you.
Okay. So we do have Eric Sussman on the phone. Eric, would you like to take this call? This question? Star 6 to unmute. While he's working on unmuting, I can answer that question. The lots at this time have been closed to the public. Although residents are able with anyone with a permit is able to utilize it, as well as anyone that it is parking to use essential services, which means if someone parks and goes to takeout, they are able to park and go out. So enforcement has not been extremely critical because we don't know at this point where people are going. So we are making an assumption that they are parking for the purposes of going to one of the essential services, which is our takeout. We will be beginning June 1st, charging and opening the parking lots, but we are not open now.
Thank you. So do you have another question, Amy?
There's a continuation on the parking too. Will the parking ban on Commercial Street and other streets be enforced, or when will it be enforced?
It is being enforced, is my understanding.
Okay, great. So is there someone on the call who would like to ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, this is Karen Stamm. I'm one of the trustees from Captain Jack's Wharf, and I'm calling basically for an update. Is there any news for us on rules or guidance or mitigation measures that would apply to us? And lastly, does the town consider us to be a guest house?
This is Steve Castrians. I'm going to ask the Health Department Director, Morgan Clark, to respond.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Morgan Clark.
Hi.
If you don't have a guest house license, then we don't consider you a guest house. Off the top of my head, I don't know what your licensure is, but I'm guessing it's rental units. So either way, though, under the governor's phased reopening, any sort of accommodations for leisure travel won't be opening until phase two. So if you're asking whether you can be renting, the answer is no, not until phase two. We are just beginning phase one.
Well, it's chiefly a matter of what we tell the callers who've already put down deposits about whether or not we're going to cancel them or where they're going to be able to come, and whether they'll have to have a stay of, say, 7 days as opposed to 5 days or some other numerical number of days.
As of right now, anyone traveling from out of state who comes into Massachusetts has to stay at home for 14 days to quarantine. We don't know whether that'll change in phase two, which is when the leisure travel or some version of leisure travel will be allowed. This is all in the governor's hands. Everything that you're learning, we're learning in real time. So I suggest that, because I know you've called quite a few times, I suggest you stay tuned to the mass.gov website to get more information there. And you can ask questions directly of the State Department of Public Health.
All right, will do. Thank you.
This is Captain Cronin. I've got a question if we have an opportunity.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, I'm a part-time resident, and we actually do short-term rentals at our place, too, so we're anxiously awaiting that. I'd like to clarify, we had a great call with the town manager with Part-Time Resident Association last week, and whether the actual quarantine is mandatory or whether it's highly advisable.
I'll ask the town manager if she'd like to respond, and then I can also join that response.
Hi, Kevin. The response that I had given was the requirement is for out-of-state travelers within the governor's order for a 14-day quarantine, and that is still part of his advisory. Steve, if you'd like to take that further, that would be fine.
Yeah. I mean, what I will go back to is when we talked about enforcement philosophy at the very beginning, the governor, much of what the governor has provided is advisory. So it is the advice of the governor and the State Department of Public Health that visitors from outside of Massachusetts should quarantine for 14 days. But that said, there's not a criminal sanction if you don't do that. But it is based on everything we know, and the most prudent course of action is for people to quarantine. And so we are encouraging that as well.
Great. Thank you. And I really appreciate all you're doing. So I know this is not business as usual at all. So thank you for all you're doing to try to keep us safe.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the support we're getting from everybody in town who resides here all the time or part of the time. Is there another live question before we go to another pre-recorded question?
I have a question.
Yes.
If I may. My name is Linda Tennyson. I find this whole thing very difficult to totally understand. For example, there seems to be a whole group of people that are coming into Truro and Provincetown under the guise that they're staying for 32 days. And I guess I didn't rent my place, but I think that a lot of situations are happening that is actually something that is going through Provincetown. Is that correct? Is that legal?
So the first thing I will say is the chair of the Board of Health and our department regulates short-term rentals. We're not aware of a situation where somebody has engaged in some kind of fraudulent lease for 32 days in order to avoid being considered short-term. So I'm not aware of that being a problem. I will say that we have received complaints over the past two weekends regarding Airbnb-type rentals, and we are investigating, and it is extremely likely that if it's found that there were short-term rentals, that there will be fines that will be issued. So, and that's under the governor's order, but this is part of the mandatory part of the governor's order, and we take it very seriously. And so I think people should know that if you are renting or if you're conspiring with somebody to fraudulently rent your property for a short period of time under the guise that it's a 32-day lease, that you could be looking at $300 a day tickets. So that's where we are on that. Is there anything you'd like to add, Morgan Clark?
Well, just about that fraudulent piece, you know, the police department spends a lot of time every year looking into fraudulent renting. So $300 a day is for our civil penalty, but, you know, committing fraud, that's a crime, and the police would be the ones to enforce that.
Well, from home.
Hello,
from home.
Can I ask a question?
Thank you.
Hang on, we're going to finish with this. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Can I ask a question? It came from home away from home, and the gentleman said that he had the legal right to rent as long as he rented 32 days. And I said, I'm not renting at all right now. So what I didn't know is it in fact legal if they, I mean, he was saying that it was legal if he came for 32 days. And
hi, Linda. It's Morgan. No, it's not. That's leisure travel,
okay.
And it's not allowed.
Okay. Thank you very much for the clarity. I really appreciate it.
Phase two, maybe we can talk about it, but I don't anticipate, well, we don't know what the governor will say about how length of time or anything, but not right now. No leisure travel.
Grateful. Thank you.
Thanks.
There was another question.
Can I ask a question? Yes.
Sure. What's your name?
Can you hear me? Hi, this is Jonathan Scott. I'm a full-time resident in Provincetown. I just want to say I really found the answer about the mask wearing and the mixed messages really both disappointing and very concerning. I think the message is very simple about mandatory mask wearing, and I think anything for outside visitors has been impossible already. The shouting matches, the name calling, the all of this already happening. I'm a person with HIV, with cancer, with chronic liver disease. I get up in the morning at 7 o'clock to walk my dog. I put on a mask. I bike down Commercial Street to go to the post office. I put on a mask. I go to Stop and Shop. I put on a mask. This is the most simple preventative measure, and I implore this group and this committee to do the simplest and smartest thing right up front. People really, really want clear guidance, and I think right now the message is so all over the place. You will have nothing but anarchy until your message is clarified, and I have found the answers tonight around mask wearing very, very disappointing and very concerning. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. All right, Amy, do you have a question for us?
Yes. What is the plan to limit motor vehicle access to Commercial Street to allow for social distancing? And when will it be put in place? Where will the street be barricaded? And how will access exceptions be managed? And what hours will it be in place?
Thank you. I will invite the town manager to respond.
I'm going to ask you to repeat that second part.
Sure. So it's if this is going to happen, where will the streets be barricaded? And it's actually quite a few questions in one. Basically, what are the details? So if there's an exception that, you know, someone needs to drive on the street, how will you manage that? And what hours will it be in place?
Are they talking about the mandatory closure that we have now, or are they talking about a possible future closure? I'm not clear.
I am going to have to guess and say that it would be a future closure, because it says, what is the plan to limit motor vehicle access?
Okay. So Monday night, we will be, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we will be going to the select board meeting, and we'll be having a conversation about possibly utilizing some of the area, such as a portion of the road, for creating some additional social distancing area. I do not have all those details, and it certainly would depend upon what the select board chose, where they chose to approve any kind of closure. So to whoever asked that question, I would suggest that you possibly tune in to the select board's meeting, or you can give me a call afterwards and I can let you know what happened.
Thank you.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Artis, and I was hoping that you guys could help define what curbside retail looks like. Does that mean that if you have a retail store, somebody has to, like, call in and you deliver it? Or are you allowed to set up a booth outside your store and demand everybody stay 6 feet away from you?
So this is Steve Katsourinas, and this question relates to activity that will be permitted under the governor's phase one. I'm calling it phase 1B, starting on Monday, Memorial Day. And the guidance that we've been provided essentially assumes that the point of this is that shoppers are not going into retail stores, that retail stores are able to make deliveries. I think the expectation, I haven't looked at the guidance closely recently because the Department of Health doesn't really regulate retail, but we are obviously partners in following the governor's guidance. So what I believe I recall is that orders and purchases will be done remotely over the phone or over an internet, over a website. And then, upon arrival at the curb, there's communication that allows somebody from inside, probably wearing a mask, if they're in the zone where it's required, and most likely wearing a mask anywhere, will go out and deliver the item. And so that's kind of what I'm envisioning. Does that answer your question, or did you have more?
Well, would you be allowed to have, like, a clothes rack or, like, a tray, like a table full of wares outside your store for them to look at, as long as they don't come inside the store?
So that's not what the governor's order contemplates at the moment. But we have also had some discussions about regulation changes that might permit some of the things you're talking about. I don't know if you want to talk about any of that, Robin.
Yes, I'd be glad to. So right now, according to our zoning bylaws, that would not be allowed. The pickup and the governor's order, as Steve said, would be to have someone come pick up. So you can be in your building right now. There was no retail. Now you can be in your building and you can fulfill online orders and they can come and pick them up. We are working on trying to help not only retailers, but restaurants and others to be able to utilize outside just as you're suggesting, because we think that that would enhance safety and be able to have people be able to do some shopping and come to our businesses. So I guess I have to say, hold tight a bit on that. If you tune in again to the Select Board's meeting on Tuesday night, we will probably be also talking about that as a measure to provide some relief for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Is there another question?
Yes, I have a question. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Hi.
Yes, what's your name?
Yes, my name is Mike McGuill.
Great, go ahead.
The COVID-19 task force and medical and sport teams, but I'm the questions I'm asking are mine, not necessarily representing the task force. But I think Robin had mentioned maybe a flyer or something that would inform people about where hand washing stations were, or somebody would request that. I was just wondering if for this weekend, if there could be a flyer that would let people know about hand washing facilities, where they are, also about where people can sit and eat, because that's been a problem for a lot of people too. They buy food to go, and then they walk down the street and eat, and they're not sure where it's okay to eat. And then maybe even letting people know where the porta potties are, and maybe even having, you know, a clear message about mask wearing. So I'm just wondering if that might be possible to have a flyer with information. I mean, especially since we won't have our ambassadors for another couple of weeks, you know, to have just a piece of paper that where everyone is getting the same message.
So I'd be glad to take that. Thank you, Mike. We have had conversations as recently as a couple of hours ago on this same issue. We do understand that, especially for some of the restaurants, they may be part of a plan to let people know where to go. We will not have, at this time, I'm not clear that we will actually have that information ready for Memorial Day. We are trying to, we're still basically closed and not encouraging people to come. At the same time, we do also understand that if people are here, they need to know where to go. So we are looking at that, and thank you for bringing it up.
Hello, I have a question.
I want to add another piece just to let you know. We have also been talking about the picnic tables, and the decision's a little bit out on that. Originally, we had planned on setting up some areas for picnic tables. The governor's order came out and said that any parks or picnic tables had certain sanitary requirements. So we're not sure that we could actually meet those requirements. We're taking a look to see if we can create a plan that would do that well. But there may be a decision for the town not to add additional picnic tables because we don't want to create spaces where one group comes and sits down and then they leave and someone else comes right behind them touching the same things if we cannot keep it safe. So I do just want to let you know that we're having that conversation. One of the suggestions has been to maybe do some messaging and invite people to have a beach blanket day, and to try and promote beach blankets so people will come with their own and they can head to the shore, and the businesses could promote that and make that suggestion. You just go down this alleyway and there's a beautiful beach to sit down and eat. We are adding, as our DPW director stated earlier, we will be adding out additional trash cans. So we're all trying to think out of the box of how to regulate and make this new normal somewhat plausible. So thanks for the question.
Thank you. There was another question. Your name?
My name is Donna Walker. And
great, go ahead.
I noticed that we're talking about 2 weeks out for many of the plans, and it certainly depends on what Governor Baker's advisory committee deems necessary as we go through phase one. I'm also aware that Mayor Walsh has talked about is for Boston, how unique they are. And so they won't be following certain aspects of phase one. We all know that we, as a town here, we're very unique here on the Cape. And our needs will be different than Dennis's needs or Falmouth's needs or even Hyannis. I'm curious to know, have you talked about or come up with any kind of plan to deal with this weekend coming up? I know June 1st is kind of the target time, but this is going to be an experimental time, a test time for things to be up and running in a certain way, even if it's on a preliminary level. And I'm wondering, my concern is we've already had altercations with people in town coming to visit, not wearing masks. And even though I might personally say to somebody, hey, don't wear a mask, that seems not to work. We've already had people creating havoc for some of the restaurants who have done curbside or have done takeout. I mean, we already have evidence that with people coming in from out of town, whether they're out of state or they're in state, not necessarily wanting to follow the guidelines. And because of that, there's a lot of fear by people in this town and a lot of concern that we're not ready for what's going to happen during Memorial Day weekend. And as we all know, it's a big bust out. And we don't know how many people are going to show up in town because of COVID-19, but having something or discussions or something in place, because we keep referring to, let's talk about what's going to happen at the Board of Select meeting on Tuesday. This weekend is a big weekend. What do we have in place?
So thank you for the question. And I'm going to tell you that the governor's orders are with regard to the activities in this town are pretty comprehensive. So I think we all know the activities that have been going on for the last 2 months. Those are the activities that can continue. In addition, construction is widely open, manufacturing, which isn't really a thing here, and houses of worship have been added. Those are the only changes at this point through Memorial Day. On Memorial Day itself, on Monday, a few other things open, including barbershops, hair salons, offices at 25%. So, and there are rules and advisories for each and every one of these sectors. So for this weekend, it's going to look, we think, pretty much like the last couple of weekends have been. Perhaps there will be a few more people in town, but there's not going to be any new businesses open that are going to be available to serve the population that might choose to come here. So, we think we're ready. I will say, with respect to deviating from the governor, that is something that we have discussed and we have looked at options. The situation for the city of Boston is significantly different than anywhere in Barnstable County and particularly in Provincetown. They have had thousands and thousands of cases, and they have had nearly 1,000 deaths, and that's not our situation at all. So,
but we do want to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely, but trying to go slower than the governor at this point is not something that seems. In other words, closing houses of worship, construction, and manufacturing wouldn't accomplish much here in terms of reducing people coming. And so, we feel like we're in a pretty good position to prepare for this weekend, and we don't think that it's going to be significantly different, except for perhaps more people. But the rules have been in place for the last couple of weeks will continue. So thank you for your call. Is there anything you'd like to add, Town Manager?
No, I think you you covered it well. We
thank
are
you.
Ready.
Yeah, we are at 7:59, and this meeting is about to end. I'd just like to give the town manager a moment to give some last remarks before we bid everyone a good evening. Town manager?
Thank you. Yes, thank you for your questions. currently at this time, we have 111 participants on the call. That is, I think, great community participation. I appreciate the call, the questions that you have. We are, again, open here, and if you have further questions, I think the staff, and we've been working very hard to be ready for Memorial Day weekend, although we have put out some messaging that this is not a Memorial Day weekend that is normal or usual, that we are not open the way that we normally would be, and we are still expecting people to follow the governor's order, which is still to stay home if you can. So we will be watching this weekend. We are ready to take additional measures. I know some people would like to have a list of what that is, but we would be here all night if I was trying to do all scenarios. I can only tell you that we will be here, we will be watching, and we will be ready to pivot if we need to. So thank you very much. And Steve, thank you so much for the work that you and the Board of Health and the Health Department do. I think we see that when we look at our, that we've been at zero, and I do believe we still are at zero active cases. And much of that is due to the community and the commitment of leadership to kind of tamp down, do what we needed to do. I will say for those of you marching as the governor is starting to open up, what we're doing here is working. And we should continue to take safety measures. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Any
well, thank you. Words? Just thank you again for everyone for calling in. And until next time.